And I hear the Lord say, I have overcome for you, my son, my daughter. So rise up and take your place. Draw unto me, and I will draw unto you. You come to me boldly to my throne, where my grace and my mercy are unabounding towards you. And scoran don bo shela da. And I hear the waves of the water washing over the people, washing over the people, washing with the water of the word upon the minds and upon the souls of my children. And I give you new breath in your lives today. I give you new hope today. For if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you, says the Lord. Nothing is too hard for me, says the Lord. All things are possible with God to those who believe. And many of you have been tired and you've been relaxing and you've been giving in to the enemy. And I say, no, stand strong this day. Stand strong and I will lift you up like the eagles that rise above the storm. You don't have to suffer through the storm. I'll bring you over and through the other side, says the Lord my God. Father God says, all is well. All is well. Fear not, my little children. It's my desire to give you the kingdom. The kingdom in which you have the keys, the power, the authority. So follow my word. Follow my spirit, says the Lord. And I will bring you into a place that you've never dreamed of. It's much better than what you've been thinking. You must put my word in your lips. First place in your life and make it final authority, says God. I have overcome. And I've raised you up and seated you with me in the heavenlies. For you have overcome, says the Lord. Amen. Well, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. You've got the victory. No fear. No fear. That fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. It's a demonic spirit. And it's under your feet. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. What, Lord? What, Lord? Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 1. Before we look at that, I think it's so neat how God, the Holy Spirit, He really knows what's going on. And back shortly after Christmas, I had kind of planned where January and into February was going, and He just turned the whole thing, and that's just on hold. And I wasn't sure why. He didn't tell me why, but He just instructed me to begin to talk about our place in this earth and that we have dominion. I wasn't raised in a church that believed that. Not that they taught against it, but they just for the lack of it. But, you know, you could tell by the way they prayed a lot of times, you know, God, if it be your will. So that tells me they didn't know what God's will was, but that's the way I was raised. I didn't know any better, and so that's the way I prayed for many years, not getting any results. When I found out that God actually wrote down His will and gave it, and I had a copy of it, you know, The next step would be for me to read it. And so anyway, the last time I was with you, we were together. We went to Genesis. We saw how God gave Adam dominion and how that dominion was lost through his transgression in the fall. But aren't you glad that God had a plan all along and that he got that dominion back for us? There's, be careful how I say this. I thank God that he dealt with sin. I mean, that's what set us into a frenzy in the first place. But in God's initial plan for man, there was nothing talked about sin because everything was perfect. And he gave God, Adam, an assignment, and he gave Adam this planet. Now, the world is a big world, but how often do we say, boy, the world is small? You know, when we know somebody that knew somebody else and say, like, boy, it's a small world. It really is. If you, anybody, you know, interested in space and, you know, looking out into, I mean, there's a lot out there. You could get on your bicycle and you could ride forever and still not get there because forever is still being created. And so, so on planet Earth, we have dominion. And we saw that, and I'm not going to go back and reteach it. Listen to the messages, take notes, go over it, and you'll see your place in this world. Well, we were away last week, and we did go to church last Sunday. We didn't skip and go to the beach. And we were in, matter of fact, it was a church that they were in their brand new location for the very first time, so there was a lot of excitement and whatnot. And the pastor, he just kept preparing us that God's just put this message in me and I'm excited. It's like, well, okay, we want to hear it, you know. Just kept getting us there. It's like, okay, we're going to worship some more. It's like, okay, we'll worship. But he was teasing, putting teasers out there. And lo and behold, he begins to speak. He begins to teach. And one of the things he says was, that God has given you dominion in this earth. And I thought, thank you, Lord, you know. But then you turn on the television and, you know, you just don't want to believe everything on the television. But it's the same Holy Spirit all over the planet, all over the churches, all over the people of the world. And he's bringing this. It wasn't just me that he was bringing this to back after Christmas. It was the whole body of Christ, which is in Indonesia, which is in South America and Africa and so on. And he's wanting us to understand, and I see now why he wants us to understand it, because it's so, so important that we do understand it, because if we don't, we won't take our place and use our dominion. Dominion is sovereign authority. We looked at Noah Webster's dictionary. We looked at Vine's expository dictionary. We looked at the Greek and the Hebrew, actually, in Genesis, and we saw that it means divine sovereignty. He gave that to Adam. He did not withhold it for himself on planet Earth. Now, he's running heaven, and he's running everything else that you can even begin to see, but he handed over Earth to man. Man messed up. You know the story. And for 4,000 years, it was messed up. It doesn't look any better today if you look to the world, but positionally speaking, you and me, the born-again, spirit-filled believers, he's given us that authority. He's got it back to us. He's got the dominion back to us. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to show you. I want to teach you. I want to show you how you use your dominion in everyday life, because that's where the rubber meets the road. You don't want to just come, well, what did he talk about? He talked about dominion. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I have dominion. What does that mean? I don't know. What good is that? No good. So how does dominion, how does you having dominion affect you? It affects you in every area of your life. Every area. with relationships, with your job, with your finances, with your health. Because if you have divine authority, remember when Jesus sent out the disciples? I guess I'm just going to get the introduction today because he just keeps giving me scriptures that I don't have written down. But remember when he sent out over in Luke chapter 9. Well, let's just go there. I think it's Luke chapter 9, right, Lord? And he was sending out. Yeah. Then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So healing the sick is very much a part of God's kingdom. Remember in Matthew 6, what we know as what's called the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. The will of God, see, that right there shows you the will of God is for it to be like heaven in the earth. Whose responsibility is it to make it like heaven? Ours. Ours. He gave them what? Power and authority. So Satan is in the world, but he's under our feet. We sang about it. Do you believe that he's under our feet? Well, he is. So when he rises up, and right here he says he sent him out to heal. When he rises up with sickness, squash him back under your feet. You've got authority over him. Now I'm going to show you. Jesus said that. I didn't just say it. So he sends them out. He says, take nothing, whatever. If they don't receive you, they don't receive you. How many have tried to talk to somebody about the love of God or about Jesus and they don't want to hear? Don't get red in the face and get mad at them. Pray for them. Pray, Father, open their eyes. They're blinded. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan has blinded the minds. It's not their fault. They've been blinded. We've got to help them to be unblinded. And you don't do that by getting mad at them. Okay? And so go over to chapter 10 because now he sends out a bunch more, 70 to be exact. Tells him, gives him same instruction. Go your way, behold, verse 3. I send you out as lambs among wolves. Oh, isn't that comforting? I'm a lamb, you're sending me out where the wolves are. Now, we went to the zoo when we were in Naples, and we saw a wolf. Big old teeth. He looked kind of wimpy. It was so hot. He was just panting, and, you know, you'd probably say boo, and he'd fall over. But anyway, the wolves aren't really like that. And he says, when you enter, verse 8, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you, heal the sick there. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Whatever city you enter and they don't receive you, go into its streets. He didn't say to them, to their face. He said, go into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. God's kingdom is in you, friend, if you're born again. And so wherever you go, you're bringing the kingdom. You're bringing the authority and the dominion of the kingdom. Jesus is the head of the church, but how many know the head doesn't do everything? He has the body working with him. And so the 70 returns, this is where I wanted to get to show you, verse 17. They returned with joy. So apparently they went out as lambs among wolves. Apparently they didn't get eaten up. They came back with joy. They didn't come back all tore up and beat up and bandaged up. No, they came up back with joy. See, this is a picture of how you're supposed to live. We're supposed to live in joy. The enemy's not supposed to be tearing us up. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We looked at that scripture when we first began, I guess we'll call it a series, because I brought you a statistic that I've heard other organizations that have done studies. I haven't done it, so I don't know how accurate it is. But they were saying that 60% of Christians don't believe Satan is real. Even if they're half wrong or twice as wrong, 30% is too many Christians to not believe that the devil's real. He is real. Jesus said it right here. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He got the left foot of fellowship. He got kicked out. That's what they call it. You know, for you Catholics, it was excommunication. But in the Baptist church, you got the left foot of fellowship. Right hand of fellowship and left foot of, you're out of here. All right. Verse 19, behold, look, I give you, it's a gift. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. He did not say, I'm asking you to pray to me about the scorpions and the serpents and all the problems. I'm not asking you to come to me and ask me to do something about it. I'm giving you authority and power over it. You take care of it. Behold, I give you the authority to trample. He's under our feet. The serpents and scorpions, and over how much of the power of the enemy? All of it. All of it. And nothing, say nothing, no thing shall by any means hurt you. Now, you say, Pastor, preacher, why are things happening in the world? There's a lot of reasons for why a lot of things happen. I don't know them all, but I do know Satan's behind them. God never puts sickness on somebody to teach them something. God never brings disasters. God's not behind the tornadoes and no, all of that is because of the curse that's in the earth. There were no tornadoes in the garden before Adam messed up. He's running around with nothing on. Even the UV rays weren't affecting him in a negative way. And then God creates a wonderful, the beautifulest woman, and he wakes up and he says, whoa, man. Yeah. And it was heaven on earth. I don't know for how long, doesn't say. I do know that Adam enjoyed it for a good period of time because he named all of the animals and all of the fish and all of the birds. Do you know how many species there are and of all that stuff? He didn't just do it after lunch one day and get done by nighttime. Could have taken decades. I mean, we're still finding stuff that species of little stuff. I'm taking my time with this to build the foundation of the importance of you knowing your authority in the earth. Now, about 22, 24 of you just graduated from our first discipleship class on the authority of the believer. And even in that 6 months' time, you still don't know everything. I still don't know everything there is to know, but you know a lot more than you did back last June. And so things should be getting gooder and gooder for you. What? Gooder and gooder? Can you say that in school? Not get yelled at. But they're getting gooder and gooder. They should be. As you learn to use your authority, and your authority over the enemy. He shows us by example the authority given to us. They came back with joy. So like I said, the lambs didn't get all tore up. They came back with joy. What happened? They whooped up on the wolves. It's kind of like something that happened last Sunday. I mean, all the odds were on the Patriot side. You know, there were grown men that cried. I wasn't one of them. You know, it was. But you see, the Patriots aren't God. They're Patriots. And they're heading for vacation with a sore spirit and ego, yeah. But, you know, so I don't know, somebody said that the quarterback, not that I want to talk about football, I don't, but that he's a born-again believer for the Eagles. And he's a pastor or wants to be a pastor? He wants to be a pastor. And he was saying, this Super Bowl game isn't the most important thing. We could learn something from that. I mean, I'm a pastor, but I don't have a ring on my finger to show that I won a Super Bowl. But he does. He'll be able to use that to bring, how many people do you think will come to his church now? He's going to have an inroad. See, God will use that in his life. He'll use things in your life that he's put inside of you. What was that guy's name? Foles? There's only one Foles on the planet. There's only one of you on the planet. And God's got people for you to reach that nobody else will reach. God's got it set up. If we just follow his system, we'd return with joy just like these people. Because they went out, they didn't bring their bag. They didn't bring their credit card. They didn't bring any cash. They didn't bring nothing. Scary, yeah, in the natural, because you're a lamb and you're going out to where the wolves are. Imagine that, going up to a wolf and say, Mr. Wolf, I know I'm a lamb, I know you usually eat me, but would you give me something to eat? Don't eat me, would you feed me? Do you ever think about what really was going on here? It just amazes me sometimes when they could come back in joy. So that's for us to learn. We should be living in joy. We should be able to leave here, go out for a week or, you know, till Wednesday night and come back to church and come back in with joy. And say, you know what? I was out there among them wolves. I work with them. And you know, you've probably at one time or another, well, maybe not anybody in this group cussed them out, but, you know, you've wanted to. But God has gifted you, has wired you, has got you there. I heard somebody say to me once, they said, well, I just don't like my job because there's no Christians there. That's the only reason you don't like your job? Did you ever think that God's got you there as the light? With God, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. So he gave them the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Then he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. All he's saying here is don't get your priorities wrong. He's not saying it's not important that he sent him out to do the healing, to do the casting out of the devils. He sent him out to do that. But don't lose sight that your names are written in heaven, that you have a heavenly purpose on this earth. And that's to bring other people to Christ. It's to bring other people into the kingdom of God. I believe these are merely the tools. Working a miracle and seeing somebody healed divinely is a tool to bring them to Christ. Connie, your daughter, that happened. She didn't know God, and you got her to come to a service, and she got healed. She got the package plan that night. Package G. I mean, it's $1 billion if you had to pay for that package. And as I talked with her, I didn't never met her before. As I talked to her, she's telling me, I got this. I've had this since I was born. And God healed her and set her free. After the service, this woman over here says, do you know Jesus? She says, no, but I want to. It's a tool, but it's backed up by heaven because God says, I don't want sickness and disease. Sickness and disease came into the earth because of the fall, because of the curse, because of Satan. But what I'm trying to get to you here as I close is that you now have the dominion or the power and the authority in your life. The kingdom is where? Inside you. You don't have to go a million miles away where you think, God, where are you? He's right in here. He's right inside you. You carry it. Now, God did show us several times, probably many times, that it's because of a lack of knowledge that you got so many problems, and it even destroys people. It's a lack of knowledge. So what do you do with a lack of knowledge? If you wanted to be an astronaut, you'd have to start studying and get some knowledge and get good at it before they would let you into the, I don't know if we have the NASA program anymore. I don't think we do. We do. Well, regardless of what it is, you have to do some studying. Kids, that's why you want to study in school. You want to be able to talk good English and not say gooder and gooder like me. But God's got it figured out, and he's deposited inside us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's turn there, and we're going to close on that. And that's kind of my introduction to 2 Peter. It's right after 1 Peter. You can't find it. It's on page 2066 in my Bible. Did you lose some pages? Oh, it starts with the New Testament. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. What else was Peter? He was a professional fisherman. We'll talk about him maybe next week and how dominion worked for him, or how Jesus demonstrated dominion, is a better way of putting it. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace or favor and peace be multiplied to you. I'm so glad our God is a God of multiplication. And what is he multiplying to you? Grace and peace, it's multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. We've got to have the knowledge. It's one thing to have the Holy Spirit and have, you know, get excited and go, woo, 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 but that's not enough. You've got to have the knowledge of the Word of God to carry you, to instruct you, to put you over. Because there's many things that God has instructed us to do and not pray to him about. Prayer is necessary. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not minimizing the importance of prayer. There are some things you're not supposed to pray about. You're supposed to do something about. And we're going to look at those. Jesus taught this. So his divine power has given to us all things, say all things, that pertain to life. And stop right there. That means any situation that you have ever faced or are facing today or will face in the future, God's got an answer for it. You've got to know that. You've got to know that God's not lying to us here. He has given. That means it's already given to you. Where is it then, God? I need it now. It's inside you. It's inside you in seed form. It is amazing. It's been put inside of us for us to draw it out. How do we draw it out? By getting God's word on it and getting the light of God's word, the revelation knowledge of God's word, the light that illuminates that situation, so now you can see what to do about that situation. The light. Light does what? Gene, could you just go back there and shut all the two switches, light switches off? Well, we're still going to have the sconces on. But, it gets darker here. If I were to hold something here, if we shut those off, could you go up and just shut those off just for a second? Yep, the sconce, just so that it's dark. Oh, well, we still got that. It's getting darker and darker, but it's not dark enough. But anyway, Okay. So. Okay. All right. So I have something written here on a piece of paper. Can you guys read what that says? Why not? Because you can't see it. So turn the lights on, please. And now you can read it because it's illuminated. Light has come on it. That's what the Word of God does. It brings light. It brings revelation. Now you can see it to read it. When you can see it, or how many have ever had a situation where you said, oh my goodness, it was like just the light was turned on. That's what I'm talking about. You got revelation. When you get revelation of God's Word on a situation in your life, nobody can take that away from you. The devil can't himself. All the doubt and unbelief from your family and loved ones that are meaning well, but, you know, being stupid in trying to get you to doubt God. But if you got it from God, then you can hold on to it. You can keep it. That's why I say, you know, I've discovered at least a dozen different ways God has made available for us to receive healing. You only need but one of them. And so he's revealed different ways for us to get the knowledge of one of those ways that works for us. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, and I don't want to take too much time here, but the gifts of the Spirit, let's say the working of miracles. I've seen that and had that operating here, where instantly people will get their miracle. Okay? But that's as the Holy Spirit wills that that comes on. I can't control it. But what have I got? I've got other ways. I've got the Word of God, which we saw earlier was powerful, active, energizing, is going to do the job. The Word of God, Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. You put God's Word on it at the beginning, and you keep His Word final authority. I don't care how badder the report gets, you stand on the Word of God, and you get the result by standing. He said that it's like a man building a house. And when you build it on the solid rock of the Word of God, and when the storms of life come, they're coming. It's not if they come, it's when they come. They're coming. But if you're built on the solid rock, your house will stand. And then he said, and now I liken it unto a foolish man. He's not being derogatory and saying you're a fool in the sense that he's just being mean to him. He's saying, if you don't take and build your life on my word, you're foolish. Because when the storms come, they're coming. They come to everybody. They come to everybody. I've yet to meet anybody that's just had a perfect life all their life and haven't had problems. And so when those things come and you didn't build it on the Word of God, it crumbles. Great is its ruin, the Bible says. Great is its ruin. So I encourage you to take the Word of God and get it into your heart. That's the Word of God has been deposited in here, but like I said, it's in seed form. You've got to water it. You've got to extract it. You've got to get your eyes on it. And we're going to look next week at some scriptures that God gives us as instruction on how to handle His Word, what to do with His Word. It's not just like a novel that we read. It's instruction for life. For life. Amen? I'm just going to finish on that scripture right there. And then we're going to close. I'm going to get us a cup of coffee and muffin or whatever else they got out there. Proverbs chapter 4. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's four instructions he's given us regarding his word. Why did he give us those instructions? I'm glad you asked that question. In verse 22, he answers it for us. For they, what's they? His words are life to those who find them. whatever situation you're facing, you have to find them words of God that speak to that situation. Then you can use your authority and your power using the word of God to change that situation. Just like I did with my daughter. For hours, she laid there in a coma with her eyes open. I didn't give up. All the doctors, all the nurses, they left the emergency room. And there was a big accident down at Busy Corner, and there were people coming in with back and head injuries and whatever, and all the doctors fled to them. They weren't getting anywhere with her. She's not saying anything, and they didn't have any tests that showed anything. And I remember a doctor just got called in. They're calling in more doctors. And he picked up my daughter's clipboard. It says, Katie Sanborn. Who's got her? And the head nurse says, don't worry about her. Her dad's in there with her. All of a sudden, I had authority in the emergency room that superseded the doctor. Well, they recognized it because when they brought her in and laid her lifeless body on that table, I got right over there and I laid my hands on her and I didn't move. Except what I started saying. And as the doctors and the paramedics, it was busy, busy, busy. And the head nurse said, don't worry, Mr. Sanborn, we'll work around you. And I declared, and I decreed, my daughter will live and not die. And I was doing this out loud. You can't care what other people think in a situation that's that desperate. I'm not saying you do it on purpose to be seen, but I was engaged in warfare, battling for my daughter's life. And hours go by and nothing's happened. And then people started showing up at the hospital and the nurse says, there's a whole waiting room full of people out there. And they want to know what's going on. And Katie's grandmother said, well, I went out. So I said, I'll come out. And I did. And I remember Gloria saying to me, how is she doing? I said, she's fine. She didn't even know I was there. Her eyes didn't even move. She hadn't talked. So then the next thing could have really jolted you. She says, I want to come in and see her. Well, my mind says she's still in a coma. I said, okay, let's go. And she went in there and she went up to her and she started to talk. And it was at that moment that she squeaked out a word. That wasn't coincidence. That was faith all the way. And I remember that night, we weren't married yet, were we? We were just dating, and we were going to Concord to see Jesse Rich, probably at your church. And so they wanted to admit Katie and everything. She was fine and everything, and they wanted to admit her. I didn't want to, but her mom showed up, and, you know, so she stayed the night. And it was, what, 10:30 or so when we left the hospital. This started in the afternoon. And I apologized to my date. I said, I'm sorry we didn't get to, you know, go to the meeting that I wanted to take you to and whatnot. And God spoke to me. He said, son, he says, you didn't get to go hear my word tonight. He says, you got to do my word. I'll never forget that. So the next day, in closing again. How many times have we closed? The next day, they wanted to do one more test on my daughter, and it was connecting brain, those electrode things to her brain and test her brain. I thought, oh, goodness. You know, she wasn't getting straight A's in school. I'm thinking, what are they going to reveal? But anyway, they said it'll take about 45 minutes to do the testing, and they did it. Well, I waited downstairs in the cafeteria with her mom, and we came up. They said she's out, and the nurse on the floor that she came up to us and she said, we're happy to inform you that we found a problem with your daughter. I just thought, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You're happy to inform me you found a problem. See, medical science wants to find the problem. They don't like it when they can't find the problem. So I didn't say anything to the woman, but, you know, under my breath, I'm saying, I don't receive that report. It's just a report. And she says, but the radiologist, I guess that's the name of the guy that reads them, and he says, we'll have to wait till he comes to verify it, but I've looked at it. The person that administered the test, been doing it for 15 years, verified that we see on the graph paper, it's all the brain waves, that there's a problem. And he'll come in and talk to you about it and tell you what it is. So we're in her room, and we waited for about an hour. I'm sitting on the bed. She's laying in bed. I'm sitting on the bed. Her mother's sitting in a chair. And then the doctor comes in, and there's a rocking chair there, and he sits down. Doesn't even introduce himself. Sits down and starts rocking. Hey, this is the strangest thing. He's rocking, and he did it for like 20 seconds. That's a long time where somebody comes in the room and doesn't acknowledge you or anything. He's just rocking back and forth. I looked over at Katie, and the biggest smile came on her face. And we knew, we knew we had the victory. And so he doesn't know what to tell us. He says, and he knows they've told us. And he's got graph paper this thick, flip-flop back and forth with all the brain activity. And he says, I've looked this over. And he says, I find nothing on this that shows that there's anything wrong with your daughter. God changed the results on the actual graph. And he says, he didn't know what to say. He said, I'm just going to call this an incident. Said, you mean a miracle? No, it's an incident. It's an incident. Well, it's okay. I'll take these kind of incidents the rest of my life. Because we win, and devil, you lose. Just like we sung today, you're under our feet. Stand to your feet. I know I kept you a little bit, but I didn't even get beyond my introduction. So it's not my fault. And it's good to be back. And, you know, it's hard to go 10 days without preaching when you're a preacher. And my wife last night sent me to the store to get some milk. And I met this man at the store. And we were having church out in the parking lot for, what, 45 minutes? And my phone rings. The first ring was from New Jersey. I don't know who that was, but I hung up on him. But then my wife calls. She says, where are you? Did you get lost? Yeah. Anyway, Father, we thank you so much for your immense love for us. We thank you, Father, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you that we didn't get what we did deserve, but we got everything and above because of your grace, because you wanted to. Father, it's just like you treat us as though sin never happened. And we thank you for that. Father, help us to take this almost too good to be true message to the world, because we know it is the truth. And the truth that we come to know and understand and apply in our life will truly set us free. So we thank you, Father. We praise you. I just bless this congregation and everybody under the sound of my voice. I just instill and invoke a blessing upon them, Father. And I decree and declare that this year, 2018, will be the best year for everybody's life here so far. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, somebody give God a shout of praise. Go get you a cup of coffee or something.